Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, and welcome back to The Shift. Dez here. Katie will be with us in just a moment. Great episode coming up. Myself and Katie had a chat with Laura O'Mahony down in Cork. Great comedian from Cork. She opened up for me actually back in February in the Everyman, back when I had a mother. I don't know if you guys remember those days. And she's married with kids. And I just thought it'd be great to talk to somebody about, I guess, you know, the relationship within a marriage, the challenges that kids bring. And that was kind of where I wanted the chat to go before I met Laura. But she was absolutely fantastic, as you guys will see. She has only had one partner in her whole life, one sexual partner. She talks very openly about that. She talks about how kids affected their relationship. Wonderful advice that she got from her mom. Such a funny woman. So great at telling stories, and it's really great. It's really about love and compromise, working things out, family, and just making the most of everything. I don't know how to describe it. I found it quite funny and uplifting, and I think you guys are going to love it. So it's kind of like a Cork special. Laura O'Mahony. From Glanmire, but living in Ballycotton, is today's guest. And have a listen, and I talk to you after the episode, like.
Hi, Dez.
Laura's with us.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Laura O'Mahony, right?
Correct.
You know what the problem is? You when follow somebody on Instagram, you just immediately think Laura Slots.
Laura Lols Lots.
I see Laura Slots every time.
Well,
I didn't see Lols Lot anyway.
I did not invite you to see my slots.
Laura Lols Lots.
I know it's stupid.
Oh, so there is a Slots in there. I'm not losing my mind.
No, you can see a Slots, but it's not safe.
That's all I'm seeing. Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, no, people have said, so my name is Katie Boyle Comic, but they've said that they've seen Katie Boyle Comic, like as in it's like I'm trying to be French or something.
Oh.
Katie Boyle Comic.
Yeah. Comic. I was once in a play where I was playing the part of therapist. And somebody read it as the rapist. And they were waiting the whole way through for me to rape someone. And it was quite a happy play. And they said they were traumatized in the audience, just going, when is this rape going to happen?
So that must have been such an intense experience.
They were so worried about me.
Oh, now, my God.
Chat away there for a sec, because it's a rare Irish experience that I need to close the shutters because there's so much sun.
Oh, my God.
Coming through.
He's blind.
South. Oh, yeah, Katie, sure, you're right there. Yeah.
Oh, hold on, let me put this down.
Right, Katie, you do it.
Oh
yeah,
God.
And then because we're filming, so when you close them, maybe open up those thingies to the
slots?
So that we get the slots
get
for Laura's slots.
Slots open.
Actually, that's not bad. That's perfect.
Lovely.
There's plenty of light there. Wow, this is great.
Wow.
Now, as it gets later in the evening, the lighting will probably change. But anyway,
we're in Des Bishop's bedroom.
We're in the Hayfield.
Bedroom.
We're in the Hayfield Manor in Cork, and I'd just like to point out because I love the Hayfield Manor, that the Hayfield Manor. Is not involved in any of the content of this show. Because I don't know if the Hayfield wants to be associated with a sex and dating podcast, which is, you know, unfortunate that people somehow still consider this to be low content.
How rude.
The content of sexual health. But anyway, I always stay in the Hayfield. It is actually, in my opinion, the best hotel in Ireland. You know, in terms of the whole offering, it's pretty incredible. From the outdoor jacuzzi to the, you know, the incredible service, amazing bedrooms. I mean, this is actually like not even close to their fanciest bedroom. And I've stayed in all of them.
you know?
It's amazing.
And, you know, for me, it's just such an amazing. Plus, I have so many great memories here. And I know there's some girls out there that have great memories here too.
Shout out to all the lads.
I'm only kidding.
But, well, the bat looks amazing.
Oh,
yes. Bat is amazing. I got great content out of that bat now yesterday on
Did
Instagram.
Did you have a bat?
I had a bat.
Oh, that's where you were with the rat. Because I didn't listen. I just watched it. That's what you were doing with your towel on your head.
I had the bat and then I got out. But it's a freestanding bat. Have you used the bathroom yet?
Oh, with like a claw foot. Does it have a claw
foot? I hope you've had plenty of tea because it's a good...
I'm having a bath after this.
No, you're not having a bath.
Des Bishop is going to bath me after this. And I can hardly wait.
But you can definitely...
That's what my dad used to say when we were in the bath as kids. You know, we'd wash the hair. They'd be like, bombs away. I was like, Dad, are we doing bombs away?
The Des, exciting come things. In, come the in exciting... and clean my slots.
So we'll do a bombs away for Laura's slots.
My slots need a good bathe.
Your slots need to be cleaned. How many slots have you got? Two, I guess.
Two main ones.
Oh, I didn't get that. I didn't know what you were talking about. I was like, what's he on about? Now I get it. You mean holes.
So anyway, Laura, you're a Cork-based comic, like.
Correct, from Cork.
Yeah. And I got to know you because I was looking for some local acts to open up in the Everyman back in Feb.
Yeah.
And it's almost condescending because I didn't know about you, so I thought you were quite new, but actually you really ripped it up.
Oh, I loved doing it.
And yeah, like, oh, but it was great. It was very, very strong.
My favourite part was when somebody made an announcement going, and Laura, a little local girl, is going to tell a few
little
jokes.
Local girl.
That was the kind of gist of it. A local girl is going to tell some nice jokes now before Des Bishop. I was like,
oh my
brilliant.
God. Thank God Maeve Higgins didn't hear that. Fucking hell. I would have been hung out to dry on that one. A little local girl, was it?
A little smally is going to tell some nice jokes.
She's going to give it a go. You know
she
the way it is with
gold.
The women. They're not as good, but you're God loved.
No.
God loves a trier.
No, we had a great time. I was delighted.
It was great. So then Katie was coming down. We're doing these shows in Cypress Avenue. So I thought it'd be great to get an episode. But really, you know, on this little Irish trip, I'm here for a while. Katie's here for a little bit less. But we're trying to get as many episodes. But we don't want this podcast to just be Irish. But it does. The energy rises when we get the Irish stuff going, you know? Mm-hmm.
I think it's good for the Irish as well because, like, even when you asked me to be on it, I was like, oh no, am I going to have to talk about sex? And I was like panicked talking to my husband going, what will I do, Shane? And my husband was like, Laura, it's like 2019.
Your husband was
he was.
Oh, I love your husband.
Because I was like,
he's probably delighted because he knows he's going to get the ride when you go back.
Yeah.
I was like, will it be okay, Shane? Like, what about your personal and private life?
Yeah,
or whatever?
Yeah, well, in fairness, yeah.
He was like, Grant.
Yeah, he's like.
And I was like, okay.
Oh, fair cool. play to Shane. Come on, yeah. Shane.
No,
so
I'm
Shane
still
is
not
husband.
Telling my mom and dad to listen, though.
No.
You don't want to give him any personal information about your husband.
How do you think?
But honestly, how big is his cock? Seriously. Oh,
I wouldn't have anything to compare with. Just the only one I ever saw.
Is that true?
That is true.
Wow.
Seriously?
Yeah. Both
you're so
of us.
Lucky. Good yeah. for you guys.
Both of you guys.
Both of us.
Look at that.
Isn't that shocking?
So you were, you were
it's
young?
It's not shocking. It's just, I guess, nowadays, you would consider that you would not be the norm.
We're definitely not the norm. And while it is, I'm delighted and everything, in those early days, it was a bit of a hindrance because we didn't know we were doing it right.
Yeah.
I felt like I needed a little guy. Like when I had my first child, I had a section and in the middle of it, a little Indian man popped his head in and said, everything is normal. And I loved him. I still don't know, was he real or not? But I wish, I kind of wish he'd been there at the start when me and Shane were trying to figure it out and go, yes, this is fine. Because we had no clue. We were lost.
Were you young when you, like how young were you?
Oh, I met him when I was 20 and Shane was 27.
Okay.
And the poor
he was 27?
He was 27.
And
was.
Never had any
no.
action.
But he was still living at home with his mom and dad, with his dad.
What so year was this?
Oh, 2000, I want to say 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
and
you
then,
guys really were the exception to the rule.
Oh my God, and I kept him hanging on for years.
Really?
Yeah. But
really?
I was petrified because I thought I'd like instantly get pregnant.
Wait, yeah, you're from, oh my God.
Yeah. So we had the
old. How old are you?
I'm 34.
Wow,
was trying to do the maths there and I couldn't do it. I had you at 39.
Well, now,
no,
come
yeah,
on.
Sorry, when I said you're not even that young, but what I meant was you're not even that old. I actually, you know, you really were at a time where things had changed quite a bit.
Totally. And
but
I was
you
petrified.
Look young. It was just my bad maths.
Thanks, Katie. How dare you? I was petrified and just totally like, I'm not joking. I used to work in a bookshop inside and town. And one day when I was in there, I got myself into a blind panic that I was pregnant. And I took a pregnancy test and sure I hadn't had sex.
You thought you were like the Virgin Mary?
Yeah, genuinely.
But what did you think you got pregnant from?
Oh,
you
gave, I just kind of felt...
Like proximity?
I felt a bit off. I was like, sure, it has to be pregnancy. And off I went and did a little wee on a stick up inside the loo of Liam Russell.
You never had sex?
No.
So how long did you... You were 20, he was 27.
Yeah, and I'd say probably didn't kick things off until I was about 23, I'd say.
Wow, three? So he was 30.
Oh my God, that is some serious patience.
And do you even...
Well, like we did other bits, but we didn't do the main event.
Wow.
But in a way, because it's funny, you're saying you need this little Indian guy to pop up and be like, are you doing it right?
Yeah.
Now, had he done other bits before? Had you done other bits before?
No.
Neither of you?
No.
Then, wait, did you say you grew up in like kind of the countryside of Cork or well, Cork City?
Like Upper Glenmire.
Suburb.
So it's not like your little country girl going...
No, I was just very... innocent.
Where did that come from though? Were your parents like sort of strict about sex?
No,
or?
Like mom and dad were actually brilliant because they kind of graduated up along. Like originally it was like no sex before marriage. And then when it became obvious that that wasn't going to be kind of maintainable, they updated.
Yeah.
As we went along, do you know, kind of, my mom said to me when she finally discovered that we were obviously doing bits, she was very...
When you were over 23 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, then she wanted to know that it was very nice. And she gave me some tips on how it, you know,
oh,
that it should be nice. Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
In fairness.
Which is good. Coming from now, like not before marriage to you might need a bit of KY jelly. It's kind of amazing.
That is.
But had she, had she given you the chat when you were like a teenager? Had she done like the quote unquote maternal duties or the parental duties?
We had the chat, but it was a bit nuts and bolts. You know, it was kind of, she was always very keen that I should know it should be a nice thing.
Right.
But it was kind of presented initially as you don't do that now until you're married.
Okay.
But so that was the initial thing. But always did have an emphasis on the pleasure mom had that it
well,
should
that's
be.
Good.
Yeah, that it should be nice for like it's not a suffering.
Yes.
So that was, now that I think about it, she always did. But I just said no, I would have preferred if she'd drawn me a diagram about where things went and where this pleasure might be achieved.
But you had this 3 years where you weren't having sex, but you were doing other stuff. So in
yeah.
a way, you guys probably figured out quite a lot of ways to have to for that part to be good.
Totally.
Because that's a lot of practice without having sex.
Comes with its own problems then though, because we were brilliant at everything else. And so then the main event, having sex,
it's a bit of an
was a bit like, oh sugar, will we go back to the other stuff? Because that's much nicer.
Yeah, but you know, that's not a bad thing to know.
Yeah, so we took a while then to get good. Yeah, it was like, whoa. There was a couple of different phases of like, yeah, it just took a while to get it right. Whereas now we'd be kind of, we're fairly good at both. Do you know, we wouldn't have
you
to resort
the journey,
to the,
you had the journey together.
We did have the journey together, which is quite cute, isn't it?
I mean, listen, I know it's like a while ago and you probably haven't thought about it that much, but do you have any like funny moments that you remember specifically of just like, what the fuck are we
well,
doing?
We had the condoms bought a while and they were in the drawer. They were the big family pack of the extra safe, right? There was going to be no buckos getting in anywhere.
You didn't feel a fucking thing.
And they were in the drawer kind of like hanging over us for a while. And when we kind of were like, right, tonight's the night, but we were in a rush because we were going somewhere at 7 o'clock, which was crazy.
You've waited 3 years. Why would you pick the night?
It was crazy. So we kind of didn't know whether we had it done or not. We kind of went away then. And we're both a bit like, I don't know, did anything actually happen? So it was a bit, it took... That's kind of my first, but at least we had that memory together and we were both, we're always been very good at communicating. When we did our pre-marriage course, we were top of the communication pyramid. We were always a bit smug about
you
that.
You had to do that to get married in a church, right?
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Oh, do you still have to do that?
Yes, to get married in a church.
Oh.
You see, I think, sorry, I do have to reference that point as well. I think Holy God played a factor because I would believe in Holy God. And I think that somehow sex got convoluted with Holy God in the mix. the Catholic guilt, definitely. Oh, definitely.
Oh, well, I didn't know where you were going with that. I was like, oh, no.
running theme. Oh,
100%. Yeah, of course. That's everybody. Yeah.
That's not even controversial. Yeah.
Even if you're not religious, like if there's people my age who are not religious, it's passed on guilt from the parents who were religious, you know?
Even though Holy God didn't really talk about sex very much.
Well, I don't know. Did he have much?
The people afterwards really seemed to think that God was obsessed with it.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Whereas in actual fact, it doesn't come up that much, really.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. It's interesting. But I'm trying to think, was there anything else kind of awkward?
No, no, that was good.
Do you know what was awkward? Sorry, this happened the other day. This is extremely awkward. I went to the doctor about a little front bum issue, shall we call it? How grim. And she said, I'm going to send off a test for chlamydia. And I said, to her, what?
Whoa.
I said, for chlamydia and gonorrhea. And I said, sorry, what? And she was like, yeah, I'll send off a test. And I said, but sure. I said, how'd you get that? And she was like, well, from multiple sexual partners. And I said, but sure, I haven't had multiple sexual partners.
Well, that means fucking, what's your husband's
Shane.
Name?
Shane.
And she goes
to me. A lot of pressure
me.
On Shane.
She was like, well, we'll just check. And I said, but he hasn't either. And she goes, I know, yeah, we'll just check with this look of, yeah, right, girl. And I went home to Shane and I was like, have you anything to tell me?
Shane.
I'm like, you do a lot of traveling with your work. Have you anything to tell me? He was like, Laura, please, for the love of God. He was like, I was like, we'll be the first crowd now that it'll come back positive. And he still won't have cheated or anything. But no, came back all grand. Of course did. But I was worked up for a couple
me.
Of days.
That's a lot.
That's so stressful.
That's a biggie.
But I was a bit allergic.
Because honestly, a lot of people find out their partner's cheating.
This was
that
my thing.
Way.
Yeah.
This was my thing.
That's very common.
So I just thought her disdainful but cheery attitude about the whole thing, I found it a bit much. I felt stupid. I was like, no, genuinely, he hasn't. And she was like, yeah, we'll send him off anyway. And I was like, but he hasn't. It just get like, I found it, I was very
relieved.
That
is a lot.
I was very relieved that it came back.
I mean, I would have thought her response, if she was being a little more caring, should have been like, I completely understand. And honestly, there's probably nothing to worry about, but it's definitely better to check. And it wouldn't be the first time that somebody like you has thought this and it's turned out to be the other way. But I don't want you to go home and think that your partner's done anything, because odds on it's not. I'm just being safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could have went home and stabbed him and then gotten the results a few days later and been like, oops.
Well I did verbally stab him. Yeah. Like, we're sitting down all relaxed, pause the old sky. And I'm like, Shane, love, come on now. Now's your chance. And he got really like, Laura, are we seriously having this conversation? And then I got, are you getting pissy with me? And so it just kind of escalated. And suddenly I was very affronted that he was like, Laura, if I asked you that question, you would be so like cross about it. And I was like, I know, but I'm not. I'm the one asking you the question. We knew it was quite tense. Yeah. But thankfully.
That's amazing.
Yeah, thankfully all was well.
Now, that's
the mystery of what's
is
going
your
on
vagina
with mine.
Okay?
Well, she this is so typical. She was just like, it's just a funny place. Funny things happen in that funny place. It'll be fine.
But you should fucking write your material in there.
Welcome to my funny place.
They just don't know anything about vaginas. She don't know what's going on.
She said all sorts of things can happen down there, but it's grand. Everything came back clear.
It's probably your fucking washing detergent. You probably just all of a sudden became allergic to it, because that happened to me and then I had to switch over. Like, same one for years.
I think it's worse than that. I think it's conditioner
dripping down. That's probably it.
That's an awful thing. Did you ever get the conditioner drip?
Nah, I mean, but I've had reactions to stuff.
Yeah, I got a new body wash once and whoof, I went over, I think I've said it on the podcast before, but I thought I had herpes. And it was actually, she was just laughing at me. She was laughing into my vagina. She's like, it's just an allergic reaction.
Listen, I've had chlamydia once in my life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right? Quite a long time ago in fucking China, of all places. And, but I have in my mind had STDs. At least 25 times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I know.
I have every fucking thing I've ever had on my penis. Yeah. It's been a fucking STD.
Yeah.
I've gone for tests so many times. Like, nah, male thrush. Nah, just fucking soap. Yeah. No, you're jerking off too hard.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Mine, I'm in a constant state of quite heightened hypochondria. I have to have a colonoscopy there next week. And I'm convinced, I'm like, this is it now. This is the beginning of the end. We're moving house just when everything was going well. Promising Cork
the
comedian.
The career going
bam,
well. Yeah.
Dead. Suddenly.
I think that all the time. Every time every time I do something more with Des, I go, I'm going to get knocked over by a car now. It's going well. I'm going to get killed.
Yeah. Constant. I have a pain in
the
moment.
Have this sense of like, it can't keep going well.
Hypochondria,
Something bad has to happen to balance it out.
I think that's tied in maybe to anxiety.
Yeah.
Fear of success. But I think a lot of people identify with that.
Well, I would be health anxiety is a thing.
Yeah.
But I think I was exposed to a lot of people dying and stuff when I was younger because my parents were both teachers and they were in massive schools. So stuff was always happening. Do you know, there was always members of the staff that had stuff or whatever. So I just feel like I'm like, I can write the story of all the illnesses that I could have.
But that's just Irish parents in general. Yeah. Like, I mean, always the stories are death and you guess who died. And I don't even know who
who died.
My grandmother, every time she rings me in America, she tells me the same story about a little boy who died in America from cancer. That's the same fucking story. I can't listen. God. But also, I'm convinced now I have a dodgy mole on my back. So that's my new
dodgy mole, that's
your new
one.
You should get it checked.
I know I will, but then, you know.
But it's not. But
no. But those are the real things. Those are the real things that you should get checked.
Okay, I will. Because it's new and it's itchy.
Yeah, listen, get it.
Get that checked.
Okay. Just get it checked.
Get that bad
better,
boy checked.
Better to know because you can get it whipped.
I will
right
when
out.
I'm back in America because I've health insurance. I pay for it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you can get it done here for free.
I know I shouldn't be paying for my health insurance while I'm away. Anyway, it's very stressful. I don't know what I'm doing over there.
Anyway, can we get back to?
Sorry. Yes.
How did you meet your husband? I'm amazed that he was 27 and.
I met my husband in Irish college. So we used to go in Irish college.
Are you a teacher?
No. Like
what's Irish
college that you go to in the summer.
No, I know, but you were 16 years old.
Yeah, no, she was 20.
No, I know.
Oh, sorry.
No, so I went as a 16-year-old and then I became a straw whore, a minder. And Shane was already a minder. But
at
not
27?
No, not in my time. He was gone. But all of the minders used to go for a big kind of piss up basically in November, and so I met him at that. Does that make sense?
And did you go up to him or did he come up to you?
Well, you see now, I had known of him. His name was Zavish, was his cool nickname, and I had spotted him around the camp because they used to come back and visit and stuff, so I knew of him or whatever. But we met and friends of ours were like, oh, you know, look at you fancy him, blah 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 blah. So we had all this lovely eye contact, and then we went back up to the house afterwards and I was like, oh my god, yes, party house, going to chat to him at that. Went over, chatted to him, but I discovered months later he didn't have his glasses on, he didn't know who he was looking at.
Oh,
he could have been looking at the wall. So then we started dating. He was living in Dublin, I was living in Cork.
Oh, so it was easy enough to do the non-sex thing. You weren't together all the
time
for
6 months, but I do remember being freaked about booking a B&B. And being like, what do I book? Do I book two single beds,
oh,
two separate rooms?
That's a big
double
issue.
It was very, I remember ringing my sister and she was like, two singles, Laura, two singles. And then she went and spoke to her friends and she rang me back about an hour later. She was like, sorry, I was being your sister. You should book a double bed.
You should book a double.
She's so nice.
She was. So we booked a double. It was in a really freaky B&B where the fella of the house was obviously an actor and all his headshots were along the wall looking
Jesus.
Down at us, so we didn't do much.
Very sexy
narcissist.
And then my sister lives in Dublin as well, so when I actually never really went up to visit him because of the fact that I was like, do I stay with him or do I stay with my sister? I don't know what to do. So he'd come down to me and visit me in my parents' house and then head home.
Oh, so then you couldn't share a room anyway.
Yeah,
the old school, not under my roof.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was six
yeah.
months before you did stuff.
Yeah.
Wow, that's like the 50th date rule.
I'm not certain. I couldn't be
she's
certain
not
about that
any
now.
Of those rules.
I know.
Certain, yeah, about when the stuff was done. But anyway.
So I want to let me ask you two things.
Okay.
I want to talk about pre-children first.
Okay.
How many kids do you have?
Two.
Okay, so pre-children, mm-hmm. yourself and your husband, the only two people you're the only people you've been with, right?
Yeah.
Do you have any? Because obviously, there's some people out there and they're in marriage and maybe they haven't had a lot of sexual partners. Do you remember ways that you guys figured out how to get better? Because you didn't have the Indian guy popping up. Can you remember little moments where you were like, oh, or did you read Cosmo? Or did you Google anything online? Did you do anything? Or did you just let it happen naturally?
I remember one holiday where we were like, right, we're sorting this out now and we're getting this right. So we were a bit like scientific.
Right.
Kind of. Come on now. This has it. Like everything else is going brilliantly. Time to deal with the main event.
With the writing.
Yeah. So we put a bit of kind of like.
And what was it?
It was just kind of like making sure everything was in the right place.
But like, was it an effort or you actually Googled or what?
No, it was kind of a studied effort during it.
Oh, like a workshop.
Kind of, yeah. Kind of our own workshop. But I suppose like we were very comfortable in all other areas of our relationship. Like we had such a good relationship. So it was like, okay, we just have to fix this one thing. And I actually think having babies made it slightly better.
Oh, right.
Because too much information coming up. The gas and air, right? They have to give you, I have to have gas and air to be induced. So I was induced on poly and they put up induction gel. And as they did that, they gave a little stretch. Isn't that a nice little hand gesture there? So the stretch helped things to be more comfortable.
Oh, so you were actually, oh, so you had, oh, that's funny because Shauna from sexshop.ie, she puts up a lot of posts talking about how women are not open and honest enough about the fact that sometimes sex hurts.
Yeah. It wasn't that, it felt a little bit like a pencil going into my eardrum. A bit. Like it was meeting resistance.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So then when I had the gas in here and the little old stretcheroonie, we were delighted with ourselves. And my babies didn't come out that way. So I just got the nice stretch and I had two sections.
Oh, you had two sections. Perfect. Oh, that's great. So you, oh.
So good. Perfect.
That is perfect. And
isn't it?
And did you ever like use lube? Would lube have helped with that?
Well, my mother did recommend that I would. And
at that,
I
before,
did.
Before?
Before, yes. Yeah. So that did help.
Oh, you talked to your mum about it?
Well, that was when she said the KY jelly would be good for any bit of
dryness. Oh, that's great. That's great.
So, yeah. So then it was much more comfortable afterwards.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Kind of miraculous that we had a child at all before that stretch.
Right, yeah,
isn't
it's
it?
Funny.
How did you get in
right,
there?
Yes.
How did you get in? There's no way out.
Yeah. But it's also like, it's, you know, you talk to your mom about it, which is great. But like, what about with your mates and stuff?
I don't know. Did we talk much about it?
Because that's a problem, is that people don't talk about it enough.
We'd be much more inclined to talk about stuff now. But I don't think I would have, I don't think I particularly thought that I had any issue down there. I think I just thought, oh, this is just
that's
not,
the way it is.
Yeah, or it's just that we're so good at other bits. That this bit isn't happening for us.
Oh, right.
That's what it was only afterwards when I had poly that I was like, oh, hang on.
Well, something's changed.
Bit more spacious down here. Come on in.
well, this is nice for Shane. Yeah. Shane's like,
thrilled.
Oh, he's like,
no, but not you got a that. Child, you got a spacious front bum.
But also,
well,
that,
I don't
like,
know many guys that are looking for a spacious front bum.
But nope. Nice spacious, not the kind
of... Oh,
like,
yeah, the right amount of
but
space.
But it's also, you're giving a good impression of Shane because you're like, it's not like he, you know, he clearly has a nice penis.
Oh, yeah. He needed a bit more room.
He needed a bit more room. That's got, so you, funny. Fucking,
Shane had been sleeping in a single bed for too long. About time you got a queen in there.
But I was thinking about my mom as well. So when I had the section, you know, there's a 6-week recovery from a section. So I am sitting at home with the baby on the boob, the first baby just being like, I don't know what I'm doing, crying, watching old episodes of Frasier, just a total mess. And mom says to me, you'd want to start having sex now again soon, Laura. And I was like, what?
Why did she say that?
Because she was like, it's very important. She said it's a very important part of your relationship and to kind of get you back on track. And I was like, man, I just had a section, like I'm in bits. And I was like, and where would we do it? She was like, should the baby be asleep?
Your mother sounds, mom.
Yeah,
she's
your mother
great.
Sounds fantastic.
She is great. Now,
and it's interesting because we're not dismissive of that generation, but we can be a little critical of that generation when it comes to this kind of stuff.
No, but she's a mom.
But it's interesting that she had an innate awareness of what was important.
And she's a primary school teacher. In you know, she's seen lots. You know, she's helped a lot of people, kind of, and she's seen a lot of situations. And she just wants us to be happy. So she was like, I know I said this to her the other day about it. And she was like, there's no way I said that to you in the first 6 weeks. And I was like, you definitely did. Because I remember being scandalized by it and feeling like, oh, God, I have to go in now and be like, bum, bum, don't mind my plaster and my sections care. But we were grand then. Sure, we were delighted with ourselves.
How soon was the second one then?
The second child?
Yeah.
Oh, there was like there's 2 years and 7 months between them.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They were both very, very planned. The most planned children you ever saw.
Oh, so you were using condoms in the interim?
No, I was on the pill.
And after your first child, then?
Yeah,
you,
oh, I went back on, yeah, yeah. Though if I have a third, they say they'll tie up my tubes.
Yeah, they still do that? Because my mother had 3 C's and then that was it then.
That's was suggested to me by a very aggressive doctor in the public health system. And he was like, we will tie up your tubes. And I was like, could I talk to my own GP about this maybe? And so then I went to the and they were like, yes,
why?
It's the best thing.
Why? I don't understand.
Because then you don't have to be on contraception forever.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Now, having said that, you could also say you don't have to.
Will that affect your body though? Put you into early menopause?
No, I don't think so. Oh,
no,
God,
it's just a hysterectomy. It's a standard enough procedure.
Oh my God, it sounds hysterectomy.
No, not a hysterectomy. Hysterectomy is having your womb out.
Oh, is it? Sorry, my bad.
This is, okay. They'll just tie your.
But what do they call that?
Your getting your tubes tied.
Oh yeah, is this not an official term? What do they call the guy one? A vasectomy.
A vasectomy, yeah. So that's an option as well. Like, it just depends which one of us wants to be.
I'd hope it for Come me. On, there must be, there must, I don't there use oral contraception.
Getting your tubes tied.
I can't check my phone or film.
But sure, Jez, if they're saying
There has to be.
No, if they're saying that my front bum area is just a place where weird stuff happens, then it definitely can be just called getting your tubes tied.
They don't give us as much respect. Yeah,
they're just like crazy women trouble. Yeah.
Yeah, but they said that to my mom too, because they don't. For some reason, like after 3 C-sections, it's no longer healthy?
Well, it's not great to open up the scar again, but like I do know people that have, like Katie Price has had at least 4 sections, and I do love everything she does. So yes. I'm in favour with her. I don't want any more than 3 children, and the third one, there's a big question mark over whether we go for it or not, but I'd be quite happy while they're down there to tie everything up.
And
tie it off.
But you're not having another kid, are you?
Not yet, no.
Was the C-section?
Not yet.
I'd say. We're kind of 50-50. Yeah, I love fuss. I love fuss. And having a baby brings a lot of fuss.
It sounds like very stressful.
I love the fuss.
Was it sore, the C-section?
No, the C-section, I had 2. Mm. So the first one was an emergency, but it was only an emergency because I wasn't able to push. So it wasn't like that there was anything wrong. It was just like...
You weren't able to push.
I dilated to 4 centimetres and I started going back. Now, somebody told me later that couldn't possibly have happened, but I'm like, no, it did definitely, because that's what they told me. And they started seeing blood in my little wee bag. So they were like, section time. So I went down, had a section totally off my face and drugs. They gave me this anti-sickness thing, which I subsequently puked all over the place. It was like, this is to stop you getting sick. Took it and then bleh, all over the place. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm just so sorry. And then you get the shakes really intensely. And this was like, I was like, Shane, oh my God. Shane's up here in his little scrubs, his little like shower cap and his garb. And I'm like, Shane, this is when the Indian man came in and I was shaking. He was like, this is normal. I'm like, brilliant, thank you. And then they did their business. It feels like somebody rooting around in a handbag. It's not particularly sore.
You weren't out for the
scene. No. I was awake, so they've a screen up,
yeah.
So you can't see it. But then they cut through and they rummage. So you can feel the rummaging, but it's not sore rummaging. It's just like,
you just feel pressure.
Somebody's rooting through my innards.
I am horrified.
Out she puffed. Oh, I can show you a beautiful picture after of Alfie coming out, because the second one then, because that was the emergency.
So sorry, just when the kid comes out,
yeah,
you're alert, you get the kid straight away, same experience as...
they put Polly, they just popped her up over the
peekaboo,
over the thing, and I heard them going, no, don't poo, because sometimes they poo coming out and it's not ideal in a section. So then they took her away and cleaned her up and popped her up on me. But I couldn't hold her because I was shaking so much. Aww. I was like, I can't hold her. And they were like, that's normal as well. I'm like, okay, great. And so that was Polly. So she was an emergency. And then with Alfie, it was a planned C-section, which was really just like having a spa treatment with something mildly unpleasant happening in the middle of it.
So you stayed awake for that one too?
Yeah, you just walked down. You said, I could walk into that one. Got your little epidural in the back, lay back, happy out. And the only thing about that one was after Alfie had came. Now, in that one, because it was relaxed, the midwives and everything had my phone, so they took pictures. So I have a picture of Alfie coming out, which is amazing. And they dropped the curtain in the relaxed one so I could see him really close coming out. But in the middle of it, afterwards, when they were tying me back up, again, another man was like, that smell of burn is just them cauterizing whatever wound it was. Now, I had thought the smell of burn was like just toast or something in the next room. I didn't think it was coming from me at all. Oh, and I was like, oh, brilliant. Yeah, great.
That's terrific.
And then the husband has to leave during the, once you're being tied up. So the husband and the baby go out then. And so you're just left there on your own, kind of like killing time. And with Polly, there was also a student. So they were teaching her how to stitch. So I could hear all the, now we just stitch in here. And I'm like, hello, I'm still here, guys. And you've no baby and no husband. And then you get pushed back up to the ward, happy out.
Oh, this is like pretty high nightmare. Though,
right? Not so much with Alfie, because there wasn't as much. So with Polly, I had done like 36 hours, being induced twice, and I'd had an early epidural and everything, and I'd taken all the drugs. Whereas with Alfie, I hadn't, because it was planned. So yeah, all I had was the epidural.
Epidural. All right. Oh, yeah, that's nice.
That was it. And then, what was the thing I was going to say there? There was something, like with Polly as well, because it was the first one. You're totally overwhelmed then. You don't know what to do with yourself. Whereas with Alfie, we had chips up in the ward with KCs. Alfie was in neonatal for a night and a half, and we were like, I'm sure he's fine. get the chips. We laughed.
Because
chips.
At that stage, you're on your second child. You realize if we have a babysitter, even if it's a brand new child, if you have a babysitter, you have to take the opportunity.
Molly was at home. Alfie was fine. I was getting wheeled down to the neonatal. Like, I don't want to make light of the neonatal, but we knew he was fine. And I was weak for myself being wheeled down in the wheelchair. I was like, I'm stunning going down here now. So and he was fine. And I went for going in and being like, oh, look at him. He's so cute. And the nurse coming along and being like, we moved him. That's not him. Then I went down to Alfie and I was like, look at him.
Yeah, he's so also cute, but I prefer the other one. can I swap?
It was totally two totally different experiences, but the first one is very overwhelming. The first, like, you're
well, then, that was traumatic enough.
Well, then you're back in the ward and it's like, I've just had a massive surgery and now I must breastfeed this baby. And the nurse said to me, we'll take her away to the nursery for a few hours. And I was like, is that normal? And they were like, yeah. But then, so that I could sleep. But I lay there awake the whole time thinking, I've already failed because I let them take her away. And then, like, the mad thoughts of, what if they bring me back the wrong one? And just crazy. And then they throw her on your boob and head off and you're meant to figure out how to breastfeed. And you're just like, I don't know what's happening.
And did it happen for you naturally enough? It's going to be tough, right?
I have such mixed feelings about it. With Polly, I managed to do it fine. I do remember them telling me she had dropped weight just before we were due to leave. And in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock, this one came into me and she was like, you won't be able to go home tomorrow unless her weight picks up. And I'm sitting there with the baby on the boob going, sure, I don't know what to do. Shane wasn't there. He came in the next morning. I was like, Shane, our child has anorexia. It's the first anorexic baby. And Shane was like, I'm sure that's not the case. So he spoke to the nurse and it was something like point something of a gram that they were freaking out over. So I breastfed her for 15 weeks and I was full of emotions and I used to be full of the rage at night, sitting up in bed breastfeeding Shane's asleep and I'm
were
like,
you expressing?
I'm going to kill you. I was. One time the school bus pulled up outside while I was on the thing. I did a bit of expressing, but it was mostly me. And one day I went in to get my nails redone. You have to take your shellac off for having a section, which I just think is the worst part of it. I went to get them redone, kind of, this is reclaim myself. But I'd left her no milk. And when I came back, I was just, my boobs were so full and I felt so bad. And I sat into the car and I burst out crying. I was like, Shane, like, I left her nothing. And he was like, maybe we'll combination feed, which is like half bottle, half boob. And then for Alfie, I didn't breastfeed. And I was,
and all the organic women mothers hated me. Are coming.
No,
after.
I'm sorry. Well, I don't know if I'll have kids, but if I do, I'm not breastfeeding. That's I know for a fact. After me, but I'm not doing it.
I found it so overwhelming for the first one. It's like, hey, your life's totally different now. And as well as that, you can't move because you must feed this child. And like, it didn't, like, I had an amazing bond with Polly. I didn't require it for the bond. And I know it's best if you can do it and everything. But then I remember being all worked up going in for Alfie. And I'm like, oh my God, they're going to ask. And the nurse says to me, you know, breast or bottle. And I was like, bottle, kind of like, come on, bitch. And she was like, perfect. Do you want Aptamil or Cowan Gate? And I said, you're not going to give out to me. She was like, no, why? And I had been so worked up for 9 months about, oh my God, I'm the worst in the world. And he was a dream baby on the bottles. He loved his bok-bok and he had so much sleep. It was amazing. He was zonked from the bottles.
I was bottle fed and I was told that I was a great baby. That so much so that when my dad and my sister, he was kind of like, I don't understand why she's crying. I don't know, the babies aren't meant to cry like this. What's going on?
Well, it just made me a much happier mother to not have to do it. Yeah. And like,
of course, it doesn't work for everybody. A lot of women feel quite a lot of shame when they can't do it.
I know, and I feel so bad for them because I could have fed everyone. I had so much milk. I'm like, come on, guys, I'll feed you.
Queuing up the babies.
Poor children in Africa with the amount of
come
breast
over
milk.
Yeah. To me.
You send you to Africa, yeah.
And then, do you know what you have to do to get rid of it? It's the most, like, it's not as if it wasn't all traumatic enough to get rid of your milk then. You think now in this day and age there'd be no little injection or something. You have to get cabbage leaves and you put a cabbage leaf on each of your boobs and it kills off, but it takes ages. So I used to have to send Shane over to Tesco's in Wilton to get me a cabbage loaf and get me a couple of spare baby crows for the child.
Fucking bacon and
God,
cabbage.
God, horrendous, like. But
and that what, that teaches your body to stop
it
thinking?
It somehow deadens the milk. I'm not sure how, but it, yeah, it must be something like that. It suppresses it. So it's just, but it takes a while, like it takes a couple of weeks, like a week or two.
But didn't they say now as well that the bottle fed is just as good as the breast milk?
I don't know.
They go back and forth, don't they?
There's a lot. I just think once, I really, like friends of mine that are pregnant now, I'm like, girls, do what you want to do. and I'll mind you and I'll support you through it. Then the minute you want to stop breastfeeding, come talk to me, because I felt so bad. I felt so guilty and I was so weepy about it. And now I look back at her and I'm like, for God's sake, just shut up and stop breastfeeding. You're fine.
Yeah.
Your baby is grand. And Alfie has had a lot less health scares than Polly. Polly had loads, but I think it was because I was a first time mom. She was nearly flat from the glass tumbler. She had a lot of meningitis.
Oh, right.
No, she did.
No, you just check it all the time.
This is the glass tumbler going, oh, this is the one. This is the one she has it. This is the big one now, Shane.
Well, yeah, one of my closest friends, his kid got it. It's a fucking nightmare. Oh, God, so, I mean, it's good that you were paranoid about it, you know? But it's very fucking funny.
She was nearly like a gingerbread woman. She was so flattened from all the checking. Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Just all so full on.
And were you doing comedy before you had kids, or was that?
Yes, I did. I started in 2013, I think. I did So You Think You're Funny, and then that was kind of the start of it. So yeah, and I went, like, I found it actually great with kids because I could get back quick enough and then go away again for another while. Do you know, because you're flexible. Like, I could do gigs pretty soon after. Like, I did the improvised panto in the opera house. We do it every year. And I'd only had Alfie 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And I remember the first night doing this big leap and feeling the section scar nearly go. Like, I shouldn't even have been driving or anything. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, maybe I won't leap this week. And when I look back at it now, I don't remember any of it. I was just so delirious. I can't believe I did it. It was crazy. Like, I'd only had him 5 weeks. I definitely shouldn't have been driving. And I definitely shouldn't have been doing a fairly full-on made-up panto every night.
You got away with it.
I got away with it. And I was happy.
Kept you sane, you know?
But it does keep you sane.
But Shane must be great. Like, he must be, like, I'm presuming he's very supportive over it all.
So supportive. And Shane wants me to do my job stuff, you know. He, like, it works out well because Shane, like, I mind them during the day, and so we don't have to pay childcare or anything. And then, like, my mom covers when there's big things going on, like, she's minding them now and stuff.
Oh, you're not doing, so you're a mother during the day and you do work at night.
Exactly.
You're not doing any other gigs.
Well, like, if we say we film the school or whatever, the bits that we do, my mom minds then. So like this year when I was doing the children's TV show, we were filming it in Tralee in May. So mom and Shane figured it out between the two of them. And my dad babysat the night that I opened for you. Oh. Do you remember that? And it was his first night.
Oh, that's right. You were worried about it.
And I was like, Des, I have to go now. The break. Des says to me,
you felt bad that you were.
I was like, I have to head off. And I came home, and Dad is sitting in the sitting room, big smile on his face. And he's like, the two of them are asleep.
Yeah, you were worrying for nothing.
I know, but
he
never
fucking raised you.
He'd never done it, but I don't think he changed my nappies or anything. Do you know? Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, so I was able to do. So I was doing comedy before the Babas. And I haven't yet written the one about them, I don't think.
That's plenty of material in there.
Yeah. Everything you're saying here, listen back to it, because that's hysterical. That'd be great up on stage.
I might just play it.
The ginger podcast.
Oh, that was funny. Did you ever do that, the meningitis joke?
No.
Oh, you should. That's the meningitis. I'm not gonna, all the stuff that brought toast.
That's a great clip, but I'm not going to put that clip up because too good. Yeah, that's too good. That's a good joke.
Oh my God. That's great.
Like a gingerbread man. That's a funny joke.
And the toast is hysterical and the whole process again. Yeah, and people will really relate to that.
I feel like the next show will have to be about them and the whole process again.
And the breastfeeding as well. Like, that's funny as well.
You fucking, boobs to feed everybody. Scars and fucking fat boobs and everything. Oh yeah,
this is going to write itself.
The least you can do is fucking make some material out of it.
Yeah, I know, it's so true.
Fucking cabbage leaves.
All right, so
we haven't talked a lot on this podcast about, you know, the children and how they get in the way of the love life. Now, I know that you said that, you know, you got widened out, which was handy.
Wide load, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, listen to these Esther Perel talks and different things. Kids tend to make it difficult.
Yeah, it's. Now, we have, at the moment, we're living in a fine house. We're selling it, but we're living in a fine house. So we go on our holidays and we go upstairs to a separate room to do our bits. And so, like, we were only talking about this the other day. Polly is now 4, so she could wander out, which is the most concerning thing. Like, I'd be traumatized if she spotted us in the middle of a dalliance. I'd be like, oh my God. And so we were trying to think what we'd say to her. And so somebody was saying that they said to their child that they were having a special kind of fight. And I'm like, I'm not sure about that one.
That's traumatizing.
I decided that I'd say we were both sick and we had high temperatures and we needed to cool down. That's why, like, to explain the nudiness. But I don't think it would wash with it.
Did you ever look up what you should say?
No.
I've never. I'm just curious.
I just don't know. I just hope it would never happen. I'd be traumatized, scared for life.
I'm sure you can probably just say, "Oh, that's just mom and dad are playing."
Yeah, but then you don't want them to be playing with Alfie. Yeah. In
well, he's not gonna fucking try.
She's already fascinated by all bits of Alfie. She likes to throw water at his willy in the bath and go, "Mommy, oh, yeah. Look well, at his willy."
They get that. I remember when you know my little cousin Bella. You know, she's my cousin Sinead had Bella, and. I was living in the house with them because I was actually recuperating after having testicular cancer. But anyway, I remember when Bella got a little older, I guess she was around two. I was having a piss one time. I didn't lock the door. Next thing she walks in and she goes, "What's that?"
Oh God.
I was like, "Oh," I can't remember what I said, but I was just like, "Oh, I'm just having a wee." And she's like, "But why are you standing up?"
Oh, no.
I was like, guys stand up when they pee.
Yeah.
But what can you do?
Well, this is the thing. It's this amazing psychologist, David Carey. He's a child psychologist. Unfortunately, he passed away. He used to be on, he used to have a regular slot on the radio. And his thing was, answer what you're asked. Don't
oh, is that
embellish.
Right?
Because I'd be inclined to be like, and men are standing up doing their wee-wees and they do their wee-wees from their willy and blah, blah, and there's too much. All she needs to know is the basics.
Yeah,
so I just need to find a one sentence. I feel like when you have the babies, you go through phases then of maybe not wanting to have sex for a while and then you want to have loads. And then, like, if you go away for a break, just the two of you, happy days, that's great. And it's, like, new and exciting again because you don't have the risk that they're going to turn up or whatever. But, like, for example, when we were trying to conceive Alfie, then that was a very, like, scientific process of, like, the days were marked on the calendar and these are the 5 days now that things will be happening, which is hilarious when you, like, you know, on a Tuesday, usually you're sitting down watching the Bake Off. There's not a chance anyone's coming near you. I'm in my full fuzzy pajamas, yeah. My hair's up and it's bun, like, don't come near me. And then suddenly you're trying to conceive and it's like,
fucking iPhone alarm goes off.
Turn off the Bake Off, let's go. And you're trying to be all alluring and it's so obvious because my face is just saying, I need you to put something in me so that we can have a baby. And it's very hard to have sex with that person who's raging at you going, come on now. And it's in the calendar, we'll tick it off. So that is quite... That's a new pressure then as well.
Yeah, that's
conceiving is pressure.
Yeah, I could imagine.
Because, particularly on the guy, because you have to perform and it has to go in me. It can't be sliding down my leg like if we need it in me. Do you know what I mean?
For sure, he could just like have a go at himself until an optimum moment and then shove it in
but
if you're really
see,
not
but
in the
then
mood.
As well you want it to be lovely and the oh, child the night was conceived you had, yeah. out of magical
and they say if you
love.
Orgasm is a better chance of conceiving, don't they say
oh
that?
I don't know, they also say if you stick your legs up in the air, and I did both times, like at the end when it was all done, like he went back downstairs and I hung upside down for a while to let gravity do its jobs, do you see, and it was obviously, thank God it worked. But like, I remember we were trying on Polly for like about a month and I was like, no, it's not working. We're having problems. Come on, down to the doctor.
I'd 1 month? Yeah. Jesus, people.
I'd say the doctor thought it was mental. He was just like, oh, he's all right. Yeah, he's well used to me, hypochondriac. And he's like, yeah, it'll all be fine. Head off there now. And then the next month we were in with our little bottle of wee-wees to say
two
that.
Months.
It was 3 months on Polly, I'd say, and about 2 months on Alfie.
Wow, that's pretty
thank
good.
God. Thank, like... so many people have so many difficulties,
yeah.
And it was frighteningly easy in a way, but I was like, I don't know, was it easy on us romantically? Because then I would, then when it wasn't kind of happening, I was like, okay, I'll get something nice to wear now to kind of, like, you know, make it more romantic or whatever. But then every time I'd put it on, it was kind of like, oh God, she has the uniform on. It's work time.
It's making baby time.
Yeah, exactly. As opposed
clock
to there
in.
Being anything nice or sporadic about it. There couldn't be. Because I think if I'd known that younger, like, there's only that kind of 5 day window where it can happen. Like, I thought it could happen any time of the month. So the pressure is really on then in those 5 days because I'm like, it'll be another 3 weeks then before this window of opportunity appears again. And every time you get the false pregnancy test, and we got a fake, but oh my God, we got a false positive. So we got a positive test, delighted, told mom and dad. They arrived down with cake. We had cake. Everyone's delighted. Next day, whatever reason, took another test. No.
And that's why they say don't tell anybody.
I know, I had to ring mom and say sorry about the... She was like, well, at least we had cake.
Yeah. Got a cake out of it.
Got a cake out of it, thank God.
We had a great day out.
I got a cake when I had my first period. Mom announced it at the table. Laura has become a woman and we're going to have cake.
I'm sorry, your mom is very modern.
Great. She's great. And my brother and my dad just like...
Great.
What kind of cake
oh,
is it?
Oh, your brother was chocolate.
Black forest gatto.
And were you the... Are you the old... You're the youngest.
No, I'm the youngest. My sister is... I don't remember her getting the cake, but she'd be a bit more shy than I'd be.
Were they your parents' first grandchildren though?
No, my parents' first grandchildren belonged to my brother.
So they have. Okay.
They're brilliant grandparents as well. Thank God that we have them. My children are obsessed with them.
Is great.
Oh God, it's like I love like. But do they get the
parents' revenge? The fact that like your children love your parents more than they love you?
I think if it came down to me, Polly'd still probably pick me. I think if it came down to kind of granny or me, I think she'd probably hopefully still go. But I think Alfie might go for granddad. He's no loyalty yet. He's only two.
Well, they don't have to discipline him, you know?
Well, this is it. And they just give them just so much love.
Yeah, they spoil
them,
you know?
And, yeah.
It's all love and sweets.
Yeah,
it's totally. Really the easy job.
Yeah. I know,
but they did the tough
granny.
Job on you.
They did. They did an even tougher job on some of my siblings. I'm the easy one. I'm the nuts one.
Are you the youngest?
I'm the youngest, yeah.
Oh, fucking yeah. Spoiled.
Yeah,
brat.
So it's yeah. easy
But
then.
This is why I think I want a third. Because I'm like, if they had only had two, they wouldn't have had me. So I'm like, I'd better have the third one to see what she's like. I could be missing out on like an excellent one.
Yeah,
I don't
but
want
you could
to
get a cunt as well.
I know I could, but at least I'd have
no,
two good ones. Two
I think,
good ones.
I think the youngest are always the best. Like my youngest.
But she has a youngest right now.
Oh, right. But I mean, yeah, because out of a gang, if you have a gang, the young ones just feral. They're just left to survive on their own and they figure it out and they're hysterical.
I think they should do a study about like younger, so youngest children rearing children.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And older children rearing. Because I feel like my two are very relaxed and chilled. Whereas, you know, there's this thing that the older one can sometimes be like ploughing the way and be quite stressed and blah, blah. Like Polly isn't. And I think it's because I'm quite relaxed with her. I think. I just don't know. I'd be interested to see that as a study. It might be really boring study. Actually, that's probably why nobody
does. Yeah, I'm sure there's all sorts of theories and stuff about the way the dynamic affects your own job as a parent, you know?
Mm.
It's pretty fascinating. You were going to make a joke about, do you need to go somewhere?
No, but there's a little funny screen. I don't know.
Oh, that's to say that my battery. Do you want to just go press close and see if we're still filming? Because we might not be. But we may be. But that's just the battery getting low.
Oh, we are.
Close.
Still
we still filming?
Yeah, we're still filming.
Okay,
wait,
great.
I was going to make a joke or
you were going to make a joke?
No, I was saying you it seemed like you're about to make that joke about how you spent all your life thinking like you're going to get pregnant. All the fear of being pregnant, realize it's so fucking hard.
I know. And I think if I hadn't known that it was, that getting pregnant can really only happen in those 5 days, I think I would have had sex with other people. I think there's about three or four lads in my head that I'm like, yeah, I would have probably.
I didn't know. Sorry, I must have missed that when we were talking. I kind of heard you say it, but I was like, what are you talking about? So I can only get pregnant for 5 days in the month.
What? You don't know that?
I didn't know that.
Well,
no.
You're ovulating.
You can only get I'm
only ovulating for 5 days
kind
a month.
Kind of day 8 to 12, and you kind of ideally want.
When's 8 to 12 though?
Well, it depends what length your cycle is.
So it's like after your period or before?
Yes, so you count from the first day of your period, which I think is stupid. But you count from the first day you have your period is day one.
You can get pregnant while you're on your period?
No.
Wait. Oh, that's day one of your
cycle.
That's
day one
of your cycle.
So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So if your cycle's 28 days, then around 8 to 12.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I could have done knowing that a while back as
well. I'll tell you, and ideally you want the business to be done on day 7. Because you want your egg to arrive into sperm town.
I do not want that.
Well, exactly. So mind them days.
Oh, so it's not day 14.
Straight after your period, basically.
I don't know.
No.
No, wait. You want... So you're ovulating around day 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, kind of somewhere around there. And ideally, the sperm would be waiting because the sperm can last longer. And it'd be waiting to give your little egg a big cuddle and make
I always thought it was
baby.
Day 14, ovulation.
Well, day 14, yes, but you want to be in ahead of
you
it.
Want to be ready.
Yeah. We kind of figured out 8 to 12, 8 to 14.
Now, was that you specifically, you were doing the temperature thing or that?
No, that was, I knew how long my cycle was, so I could gauge
it. Oh,
right.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
It's your cycle basically a 28-day cycle?
About 33 days, 33, I think it was. Yeah, so you just had to figure that out. So when you go off the pill for a month or two, you get to figure it out. Now, if I was in the middle of conceiving now, I could tell you a lot more exact details.
I didn't know a woman's cycle was as variable as that. I mean, I know that people's cycles get off.
I think between 24 to 36, I think.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
You learn something every day.
I tell you.
I always thought it was a 28-day cycle.
No, that'd be rare enough. Like it is when you're on the pill because you, you make it 28.
But they just really know, and really you can be like me and just slide through life there not knowing anything really.
Well, I think you're not taught the right stuff.
Yeah,
like
I agree.
You're just taught don't have sex and you won't have a baby.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're
in Ireland, perhaps before. Yeah. Because I mean, I definitely was taught as a boy.
Yeah.
In America.
The menstrual cycle.
In America.
Yeah, I was definitely taught about the menstrual cycle, 100%.
I don't remember being
taught. But just kind of like women have periods or like...
No, that women have periods and that there's a period of time where they're fertile. And I mean, obviously my memory is it's around day 14. But I knew that there was a period of time where you could get pregnant. I mean, I did know that.
We could have been taught in biology class, but I was always talking to people. I was never listening. So I don't want to blame it either. Maybe the biology teacher did teach us and I don't remember. But I honestly don't remember learning
it. I did learn it in biology, but we went to an all-Irish secondary school. And I just remember the teacher roaring out.
What is period, Oscoelga?
Oh, it's Amden V, I'd say. Time of the month.
Yeah, oh,
I'd
really?
Say so. They just remember the woman roaring, peenage at us. And we all just being like,
peenage? What does that mean? A
but she just kind of roared the different names at us. That was kind of it.
But Nahasa.
What's that?
It was like a hard cock, you know? That's what the Connemara lads.
Oh, Nahasa.
But Nahasa, like it's up, you
know? Nahasa? What?
Bud Nahasa.
Bud Nahasa. Yeah. Your little bud. Oh, God.
But you bud see, in Irish,
there's no sex sauce going now, really. I remember them in first year, the first years in secondary school learned the word for sex, which is Guinness. And they were all going around going, Guinness, Guinness. And I thought they were saying the Irish for Guinness, like simpleton.
Guinness.
And I was there going, ha, that's very funny. But not knowing why it was funny. I was like, stupid.
But should that happen to us, me and Des, when he decided to do the podcast, he was talking to me and he goes, okay, we'll have to think of a name. Maybe Ganesh. And I was like, what?
And he was like, Ganesh in the face.
Ganesh.
The shift
I have no fucking clue.
Glad
with the shift.
There's
some people now, it's new podcasts calling it The Shift. It really annoys me. One of them is The Shift with Catherine. So I'm like, piss off, Catherine. That's very close to my name. My name's Katie. Well, you should have.
Come on.
Yeah, but there was a shift before us too. So there what's was, good nice. For the goose is good for the gander.
People have been shifting for years.
The Shift is the original, right name for this.
Yeah.
The original The Shift is about ambulance workers. So very different to what we're talking about. Yeah.
So if you were to, as we're wrapping up.
Yeah.
Fantastic guest.
Oh, you were great. So funny.
If for our listeners that are like, you know, have kids now and they're just at that stage where maybe the kids are out of the emergency zone, they're starting to get their own life back.
Yeah.
You have any just tips that you throw out for people to make sure they're, well, I mean, you've said enough. I'm just curious if you had like a bit of parting wisdom.
My parting wisdom is as follows. I think you can never get your old life back. I think you have to accept kind of your new life. So your old life might have been like, you know, passionate clinches at any, like a morning, a Sunday morning, it's amazing. But like that's not happening now anymore because Ben and Holly is on in the morning and it's cuddly in time on the couch and there's Frosties to be given to your children and all sorts of health cereals.
Jesus,
but like,
no breastfeeding Frosties. What kind I of a know, fucking throwback are you?
God. But I just feel like you have to find new ways. But I do think my mom is right that it is important to get back on that horse because it is a huge part of your relationship. And if you just become mammy and daddy, like ye were there first. So Laura and Shane were there first. And we made these two humans because we love each other. So just because they've come into our world, we can't let them therefore eliminate Laura and Shane. So we have to find the new Laura and Shane, which is you just have to find a bit of space for each other. And ride on, as the great Christy Moore said. Geez.
I'm going to send this episode. I'm pretty sure my parents are having sex, but I hope I'm going to send them this episode just to make sure.
Oh, yeah.
The fight for Lauren Shane. That's wonderful. It's very good advice.
You have to. Yeah. Because you're the beginning. You're the reason for it all. So you're still
me. And people do lose the fight. Yeah. That's why it's important to say it.
And it's also temporary. So even if you do lose, you mightn't win it every day. So like there might be a couple of like stressful weeks or whatever. But you have to find each other then somehow. It's the not finding each other, I think, ends in trouble. So even if you don't find each other for 7 years until they're like making their communion or whatever, fine. But
hopefully
find
you survive that. That's the challenge, right?
This is it. And the only way to survive is to find the spaces for yourself to just reconnect. Definitely physically, because like emotionally and mentally and everything as well. But like you do have to. You have to, and
it can be tough, right? Sometimes you just can't be fucking bothered.
I know, but look, reach out for that, Willy.
This is like a separate thing, but I'm just thinking because he was your first partner.
Yeah.
Because I didn't orgasm. I thought I was, but then it turns out I wasn't orgasming until plenty of partners later.
Okay.
I was like, oh, that was grand. And then I was like, oh, ho, 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 ho. What about you? So did you, were you orgasm at the start with
I him? Have to say the oh, ho, ho was always there.
No wonder you're still with him.
He's a good little worker though. He'd keep working
away.
Doesn't
give up.
Good shot. This is a really positive Shane episode.
Shane has a thing called stick-at-tutiveness, which he applies to his work, that you just stick at something and he'd be the same.
With the vagina.
If the old fanny wasn't cooperating, he'd stick at it.
Fucking figure it out.
There.
I'll sort this out like fucking DIY. I fucking figured
I'll ring that Indian fella.
Would he read the instructions now when he buy a bit of IKEA? Would he?
Oh no, he wouldn't.
Oh, he'd fucking figure it out.
He has a drill now.
That's right, baby.
When we were trying to assemble out the cot for Polly, there was a lot of Allen keys, but for Alfie, he was like, "I've bought a drill." Put the whole thing together, perfect.
You don't have to answer this. I'm just curious because I'm picturing him. What does he work as? But
he's an electronic engineer.
Okay, you know, I was picturing. I was like, is he a farmer? Is he a fireman? What does he do? Electronic engineer.
He's
great.
Used to working with tiny little things.
He figured out how you were wired.
So that's
he figured out how you were wired. If an electrician can't fucking figure out how to turn it on.
This is it.
Nobody can.
Now he'd kill you for saying he's an electrician.
Electrical engineer,
for God's sake.
Yeah, with a special interest in electric cars, and he's convinced he's going to save the world.
Oh, good for him.
So, yeah, we're delighted good with him.
I can't wait to stalk your Instagram. I hope there's a picture of him
on
it.
Oh, he's there. He's there.
I'm like,
right.
And they're like, oh, this will be my future now. I just need to go back in time and
find a Shane O'Malley.
I don't know if I were still with my first boyfriend. God, no. No offense to him. If he's listening, he's not. But, no.
He's so listening.
He was, no. God,
hopefully he's gotten better.
No, not in the sex. Oh. Just in the...
It doesn't matter.
No, it's a poor lot. Just as in like, we weren't together because we were young and we liked drama. So there was a lot of fighting. That wouldn't have been good long term. No, we weren't. Yeah. It was just a... No. Poor man.
That's great advice.
Yeah. Fight
great advice.
Each other.
So thank you so much for being
Yeah, you were great.
Thanks,
thank
guys.
You so much for being on the pod.
A pleasure.
Oh, wait.
We'll have you on again.
Every man.
March the 14th.
Get your tickets right now because it's going to sell out.
Yeah.
So what is it? Laura, LOL, LOL's Lots.
Laura Lulls Lots, yeah.
Laura Lulls Lots.
Yeah.
Or Laura Lulls Slots.
And what's your last name?
O'Mahony.
O'Mahony. Yeah, Laura O'Mahony would have been great.
I'm sure there's
a few Laura O'Mahonys,
no? Laura O'Mahony comic. Comedian.
Does it make me sound a bit serious though?
No, it just makes you sound like a comedian. Like and somebody had Laura O'Mahony already.
You could even be Laura O'Mahony Lulls.
I'm not changing it now, lads.
Laura
I'm
Lulls.
You know what? You commit to it.
Yeah. Laura Lulls Lots.
But you come to the Everest.
We'll have you on.
I'll
tell you what, we'll have you on again to talk about, more dirty shit.
Ooh, yeah, go get really dirty now with Shane.
Okay.
Tell Shane it's for the podcast.
We'll go to a farm.
Tell him I love him.
So our recommendations for the next time on the podcast is you guys will have watched porn together.
Did you watch porn together?
No.
Brilliant.
Okay, you'll watch porn together. And perhaps you'll check out sexshop.ie.
Okay.
And buy a couple of sex toys and put them into the relationship and come back and talk to us. No, plenty of time. You have a year. You have a year. Slot it in.
This is great. You're going to love the sex toys.
I'll put it in my slot. Yeah,
now that you're not having any more children, put it in the calendar.
Oh, thanks.
Put on the fucking
sex. If you want
put
to.
On your uniform.
Okay.
Put on your uniform.
It's time, baby. Fucking,
have the shift written across your forehead as you're doing it.
I'll play this in the background. I'll be like, listen to my podcast.
Put on the sex shop episode. Okay. But sex toy in the bedroom's great. A little vibration on the clitoris.
Well, thank you so much. Make sure to add Laura. Make sure it makes it look like it was worth her while being on the podcast.
Yeah, follow her. She's great. Probably
all right. All right, Gard. Thanks a lot, Gard.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Wonderful to have you all with us. Thanks to Laura. I've come back on, really, because it's not that necessary for me to have come back on. But I've come back on really to say that I think We're recording an episode on Thursday. Friday, we're going down to Thurles, County Tipperary, myself and Katie. And I have another comedian coming with me also to the Source Arts Center in Thurles. And I was thinking that if we record an episode while we're driving in a safe way, I might put on YouTube Live and record live. So pay attention to my Instagram the next couple of days, and I'll let you know when we might do that, and we'll incorporate perhaps a bit of feedback. But most importantly, you'll be able to watch the recording live. I think that's my plan, but it'd be more fun if you guys knew about it and you were there. As always, thanks for your feedback. The next time we record an episode, there's been some fantastic messages coming in, and one particularly I want to discuss with Katie and our guest. And it really has a lot to do with, a friends with benefits thing, and when's the right time to make it more serious, or when's the right time to, not do that and ruin it, you know? So anyway, there's a lot coming up. So please, if you haven't done so, give us 5 stars on iTunes. If you're like a Spotify listener, please just post it up on your Instagram or your Facebook that you listen to The Shift. And we'll be back next hump day with... next hump day, I'm definitely putting up the episode I recorded in Las Vegas about infidelity in marriage. But because I'm back in Ireland, I wanted to get a couple of Irish episodes up. So, thank you guys. Thank you so much. Talk to you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.